Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
James O'Brien. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 11:49. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. 100 days is a big moment in US administrations. In fact, rather than me pontificate on why don't I just ask Simon Marks? There you go. I was about to go off on one then, but he's here, so I won't. Simon Marks, how lovely to see you and indeed hear you. Why is the 100-day milestone such a big deal in US politics?
Well, I think in the modern era, James, it's been considered an opportunity by historians early in the process and the media instantly in the process to take a snapshot of where things stand. And certainly in this presidency, this 100 days has been conducted at such breakneck speed deliberately. We've seen such a tsunami of change that under any circumstances, it's an opportunity for the country to weigh up how far things have come. But under these current circumstances, it's also an opportunity perhaps to look in the rearview mirror and see how far and how fast the country has drifted completely now from its traditional moorings, and really ask the question of whether there's any way back.
Are we back to the distinction between reality and delusion? Because in the world of reality, that you'll be looking at the complete failure to bully China into any sort of trade deal, the alignment with Vladimir Putin and the shameful abandonment and betrayal of Ukraine and Volodymyr Zelensky. You're looking at the financial figures that are by any measure pretty hideous. And yet, presumably, Donald Trump will still be doing a lap of honour.
Oh, very much so. He's going to be celebrating this 100-day mark and, of course, clutching at straws in the process. I mean, I'm sure we're going to be hearing from the White House noting that The Economist over the weekend described the first 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency as being the most consequential in modern American history. Of course, that wasn't a positive in the phraseology that was then accompanied by an article explaining why it had been so disastrously.
Yesterday was the most consequential day in the history of Spanish and Portuguese energy supply, wasn't it?
Yes, precisely. Exactly. Exactly that. But so he's going to be taking this victory lap. We've got a rally in Michigan that he will be holding later today, of course, one of the battleground states that he won back in November, propelling him back into the presidency. I've been struggling over the last week or so to decide, is this a clown show that is beginning to crumble from within, or is it a really very, very serious authoritarian turn that the country has taken, from which there is no way back, with constitutional and democratic guardrails and checks and balances completely being eviscerated by the Trump White House? And the answer to the question is, it's both. I mean, Mussolini was widely seen in Italy as a buffoon, and yet he also very successfully installed a reign of fascist terror there. And I do think that we are seeing the implementation of authoritarian moves from which it is going to be very difficult from any successor government to pull back. I mean, when you look at the way in which the courts right now are being steamrolled on the issue of mass deportations, court orders now being completely flagrantly ignored on a continuing basis, as the White House simply says, illegal immigrants living in the United States have no right to due process. They've got no right to make their case to stay in the United States. Even American citizens who have been deported, like the two-year-old infant sent back to Honduras a few days ago, the four-year-old deported in the midst of vital cancer therapy, an American citizen whom the courts are beginning to conclude had no access to due process. And then you look at other court orders. You know, a judge last week said that the government had illegally shut down Voice of America and fired all its staff. Well, Voice of America's still off air. The building's an empty hulk. The staff are all still laid off. You know, these are seismic changes in the way that the country operates, and returning to the status quo ante is going to be very problematic.
And I mean, as you say, the rule of law is creaking.
Yeah, I mean, the rule of law is under attack in two separate ways. First of all, the tsunami of activity has left the courts struggling to catch up. I mean, who knew that it would be so easy, essentially, to bring the rule of law in the United States to its knees, that all you had to do was throw not just one string of spaghetti at the wall, but loads and loads and loads of spaghetti, the entire plate, and that the courts would simply not be able to keep up with the process. Not just the courts, NGOs as well, struggling to find out who has actually been deported, where they've gone, where they've been detained while they've been awaiting deportation, which in the case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, that 29-year-old from Maryland, living legally in the United States at the time that he was seized off the streets. I mean, in 72 hours, he went from walking the streets of Maryland a free man to finding himself in a terrorist detention facility in El Salvador. Hugely difficult for the courts to keep up under those circumstances. But also, there's a standoff here. President Trump zealously is trying to provoke a confrontation with the U.S. Supreme Court. It may come on the issue of birthright citizenship that he wants to end. It may come on any of these other issues that rise to the level of Supreme Court adjudication. He wants a standoff with the judiciary because he's making it absolutely clear they are getting in his way. This whole business of due process, he said a couple of days ago, is just not what this country is all about. This is a revolutionary battle for the heart and soul of America, for American values.
I mean, he wants to be a dictator is the shorthand version of what you've just described with regard to the rule of law and the justice system. And then we come to the eternal question, which is it him or is it a people around him? And, you know, the idea that he can be persuaded by the last person that he spoke to go down a completely different path from the one he was on 20 minutes before holds true in many cases. Even on the birthright citizenship question, it's probably more Stephen Miller than Donald Trump. Does it matter, the distinction between what is him and what is the people around him? And I mean, do we know?
Well, you can certainly argue that he's a bit of a cipher for the people around him. There's no question that he's only ever as good as the last conversation. I mean, the poster child for that is the meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky at St. Peter's Basilica over the weekend. 15 minutes on his own with Volodymyr Zelensky, and by the time the papal funeral was over, he was taking to social media excoriating Vladimir Putin and threatening new sanctions against Russia. If you look at tariffs, yesterday, once again, he was waxing lyrical about the idea of funding the government entirely through tariff revenues, getting rid eventually of income tax, because that's the way they did things back in the 1890s and the early 1900s, and he thinks that the country has slid backwards since then. Once you hear those cadences, you know that he has just been talking either to his trade advisor Peter Navarro or his Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, but definitely not to Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who keeps trying to talk him down from that particular ledge and get him to engage in serious-minded trade negotiations with the Chinese, with Rachel Reeves and others. On the deportations issue, it is Stephen Miller all the way that is ruling the roost. I mean, yesterday, even suggestions coming from him and Tom Homan, the border czar, that the two-year-old and the four-year-old that had been deported, that was an act of kindness by the White House because they were keeping the children with their mothers. They were keeping the family together. Well, in the case of the two-year-old, the father, an American citizen, was urgently and desperately petitioning the courts to try and stop the infant from being sent out of the country, given that the child was an American citizen. Yeah. But Stephen Miller and Tom Homan have no truck whatsoever with the courts interfering in these processes.
And this might be a daft question, so forgive me if it is. At the rally later, when he celebrates his triumphs, will any of them be true? Are there anything?
Will any of them be true?
Yeah.
I mean, there may be some things that are true. I mean, he has successfully forced federal government workers to return to their offices.
Right.
And I think that's been a popular move. Many Americans could not understand, many Democrats could not understand why Joe Biden didn't do that when he was president of the United States, allowing them all to work from home as though COVID was still a thing. I mean, there are other less serious elements that he will point to as strengths. He's making moves now to get English declared the official language, major moves being taken against the use of Spanish by the government and in federal offices and other agencies. But most of his policymaking is based on disinformation and what were referred to rather quaintly in the first term as alternative facts. And those now tumble from his lips, and not only his lips, from J.D. Vance's lips, from Marco Rubio's lips, with no restraining influences within the government. I mean, there are barely, you know, Scott Bissent, the Treasury Secretary, arguably an adult in the room, but there are no others, and they're all egging him on.
This can only happen, as you've explained to us before, if you've got the media in your pocket, as it were. That continues apace. That process continues apace, up to and including the former banjo player with Mumford & Sons popping up in the Oval Office, I think, in the last 24 hours.
Yes,
I'm just going to say that again.
And
the former banjo player with Mumford & Sons getting access to the Oval Office when... is AP still banned from the premises?
Well, AP is not banned from the premises. They are usually restricted from the press reporting pool, although hilariously, in a bid to comply with a judge's order recently, the White House put AP back in the reporting pool on a day when, if you read down to the bottom of the president's schedule, you will see that the president had no official appearances that day. But the character of reporting at the White House has completely changed, not just because they're gaming the reporting pool, but because they're also bringing all of these far-right Trump sympathizers not only into the briefing room, but giving them a prominent seat within it and the first question on those days when White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt briefs. And I've got to say, James, the vision of the press in this town last weekend, once again participating in the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where there was no president in attendance this year because Trump never has any truck with it. They had cancelled the comedian because they were concerned that the comedian was going to make jokes that might irritate the Trump administration too much. And yet they still wanted to yuck it up in time-honoured fashion, inviting members of Congress and the powerful to come and rub shoulders with them. I mean, the notion that that event has been happening under any circumstances over the last decade is ridiculous. But the idea that it was going on under these circumstances is just craven.
Great stuff, Simon. Well, I mean, great journalism. It's not great events that you're describing by any stretch of the imagination, but we're lucky to have you. Thank you. And of course, just for context, as a few of you are reminding me, the former banjo player is the son of the guy that owns GBeebies and I think the Spectator magazine as well. So, you know, there's a lesson there for everybody. You too can make it as an international journalist if you suck up to a fascist and your dad owns propaganda channels.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.